It's such a moving event in a sporting event where we hear of a theological question: do you believe in miracles? Well, if we were to objectively and look at the sporting event and dissect it theologically, we understand that there is no actual miracle that occurred that night. We understand that the sporting event, sports, require competition. You got two opposing people or teams, and at any time, at any place, there's always a chance you could lose or win, no matter how good you are or how people perceive how good you are. But the question does remain tonight: do you believe in miracles? Do you actually believe in miracles? Before we answer that question, let's take a look at the bigger overarching question here. What do we mean by miracles? After doing some study on this, let me give you a definition on the word miracle. An act of God using or exceeding the laws of nature to perform humanly impossible feats to reveal His power and glory Himself. Let's pray. Lord, just pray and come to You. And Father, any truth and all truth comes from You. I just pray that You use me as a mouthpiece for that tonight as we talked about this important subject matter that You address in Your Word, Father. And I just pray that You speak to our hearts through Your Word of truth. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two things you need to notice immediately about the definition of the miracle, or the word miracle. First of all, a miracle assumes that God exists. He is the only one who can perform it. Also, it assumes that God does indeed perform miracles. This is important in particular because we are, especially in the last century, dealing with a lot of skepticism surrounding miracles, even in the Christian circles. Because we're more liberal-minded, we think that God does not do miracles in this day and age. In fact, if you ask Thomas Jefferson or read his version of the Bible, you will notice, and if you go to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, that he has cut out every single miracle event in the Gospels. Took his razor and cut it out. Well, Jefferson will serve as a way of a microcosm of the way the world is today. Oh, the world does not believe in God and does not believe in the God of miracles. It's a reflection of all of us. Now, the problem with this thinking should be obvious. If miracles are impossible, then the study of Jesus is a waste of time. It is a complete waste of time to be able to put Jesus Christ, as significant as He is in all of human history, if miracles do not exist, because Jesus Himself is defined by miracles. The greatest miracle, the greatest really two miracles that has ever been known to man, is the incarnation of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. The two Gospels begin with the initial incarnation, the greatest miracle, as C.S. Lewis calls it, the grand miracle. And the four Gospels all conclude with another great miracle, the resurrection of Christ. And then in between those bookends of the incarnation and the resurrection, you have the Gospels loaded with miracles. And I would say confidently that during Jesus' time, He performed so many, many miracles Himself that He probably performed many miracles in one day, which we see more than all of the Old Testament miracles put together. The Old Testament, we see that miracles come with rarity. It wasn't as prevalent as it was in Jesus' day and what He did on a day-to-day basis for His 30-year ministry. I mean, it was very, very common. And you wonder why. And we'll touch on that here in just a moment. But to put it bluntly, the truthfulness and the relevance of Christianity is foundational. Miracles and the miracle events are foundation to Christianity. It cannot exist without it. If you believe in Jesus, then you must believe in miracles. Jesus was a miracle Himself, and He was a miracle worker. If you turn to Matthew chapter 15, which is our text tonight, believe it or not, I'm going to show you what I consider to be a miracle right where we're sitting. Matthew 15, verse 30 and 31. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to the whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. I believe you just witnessed a miracle reading these verses. And you probably thinking to yourself, what miracle are you talking about? I'm talking about the miracle, the fact that as you're reading the scriptures, in the midst, there was millions of impulses firing between your synapses and your brain. And all the while you're reading, there is about a cord of blood running through the thousands of miles of veins that are running through your body, arteries and capillaries. And then just notice for a moment that we're sitting where the planet that which we abide in is traveling 7,000 miles per hour through space while spinning around on axis of a speed of 1,000 miles per hour, and we're not dizzy while reading it. That's a miracle. As we think about miracles in general and the miracles of Jesus specifically, there is one thing to keep in mind. One of the most interesting things about the miracles of Jesus is they were never contested by his enemies. Think about it. They never disputed the miracles themselves, only contested how they were done and when they were done. Even his enemies realized this was a miracle worker. Miracles were real. The fact that Jesus was a miracle, who performed miracles, should teach us several things this evening. And let's go through these things. First of all, we should believe in the possibility of miracles. We should believe in the possibility of miracles. You must believe in a miracle-working God because, frankly, what God is worth worshiping who does not do miracles? Because that would make him a man. He just does everything that we do. But because God is God, and he is a supernatural being, he can do whatever he wants to do. It can supersede natural law as we see it, because it is a God who created the natural law. Furthermore, if you are a genuine Christian, you have to believe in the possibility of miracles because your own faith depends upon it. Christianity depends on the miraculous. Why or how did we get here to begin with? We see that the supernatural, or we see the natural laws that exist and the earth exists, and we talked about how our body functions just a little bit ago and how this universe functions. Well, how did it get there to begin with? It was because of the supernatural cause and the miracle cause of Christ has brought it all to existence. He spoke it all into existence in 6 24-hour days. Something out of nothing. That's a miracle. If you accept the Bible as a historically reliable book, much less the Word of God, then it really doesn't matter if God didn't create something out of nothing. We can go even to the Scriptures and talk about how miraculous the Bible is. The evidence for miracles is just overwhelming. In the life of Jesus, we see it in abundance. By the way, let me take one small objection. I've seen this said several times, and I know in my ministry, is where they talk about the Bible is not a science textbook. And while I agree it's not a science textbook, and they say and they dispute miracles because of it, because miracles have to do with science, therefore it is irrelevant when we talk about the Bible and concerns of science and in terms of miracles. It deals with only history and theology, and that's it. It doesn't deal with anything else. But there is only one problem with that line of thinking. You really can't separate science, history, or theology. For example, let's take the resurrection of Christ. As it pertains to the resurrection of Christ, is his resurrection theologically true, historically true, or scientifically true? The answer is yes. It's not, so if you were doing this multiple choice, it would be all the above. Because everything is contingent upon the other. Jesus Christ scientifically rose from the dead. He supernaturally rose from the dead. And it was historically and theologically true. The Bible, as we historically points it out, as documented history, there's nothing more accurate and supports more evidence with documents more than the resurrection, the resurrection account in the Bible that confirms it. So everything is contingent upon the other. Theologically, Christianity simply is dead without it. Remember, we're not talking about the probability of miracles, but the possibility of it. It is true that our universe operates by and large on a daily basis on the laws of nature, as we referred to a little bit earlier. Natural laws are the way things naturally happen. Just because something happens naturally doesn't mean God can all of a sudden can step in and supersede that natural law and decide to walk on water, to suspend gravity, or to turn water into wine, or to make the blind to see, or to make somebody who's supposed to be paralyzed walk. He does miraculous things, has done them, and will continue to do them. Secondly, we should realize the purpose of miracles. We should realize the purpose of the miracles. This may be the most important part of this because there's so much dispute about it and there's so much misunderstanding of why miracles have been performed by Christ and how some seem to misinterpret the presence of miracles in this day and age. But the first purpose of miracles is the authentication factor. The first purpose is for authentication. Jesus performed miracles not to show off, but to show truth, that what he said was true. That when he said he was the Son of God, he showed miracles to say, I back up what I say. A lot of us, even as Christians, we say a lot of things. Well, what's the old saying? Walk the talk, right? Walk the talk. Jesus always walked the talk. Always. And miracles was, nobody could outdo Jesus when it came to that. He did the ultimate walk the talk when he showed signs to say, I am the Son of God. Nobody can dispute that. And here's one great example of that in the Gospels about four men who brought down the paralytic man. And you remember when Jesus approached this paralytic man through the roof there, he told them, your sins are forgiven you. What did his enemies say when he said that? There were, of course, anything that had to do with anything of Jesus equating himself to God, it just ruffled their feathers and they hated it. They says, you can't forgive sins. You're not God. How can you do that? You know what Jesus did? The old put up or shut up. Oh, he put up. He said, I'm about to show you. The paralytic man, he let him walk. All his life, he was a paralytic, and all of a sudden, Jesus gave him the power to walk. You know what that did? That confirmed the fact that I'm showing you I can forgive sins because I can do the impossible. So that shut their mouth, for the moment at least. Secondly, it leads to revelation. Miracles show us revelation. One of the greatest miracles of Jesus performed was the exorcism. Casting out the demons of people. In Matthew 12:28, it says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. The miracle of Jesus proved not only that the kingdom was come, but that the God of kingdom has now come. The one thing that Jesus did that drove the Pharisees nuts, that eventually got him crucified to the cross, and they actually tried to perform commit murder and try to kill him beforehand, was, of course, claiming to be God. In John 10, it says that when the Jews took up stones again to stone him, Jesus answers them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thou thyself God. And this was Jesus previously said that I and the Father are one. And to any Jew, this was fighting words. This was, you're on shaky ground and they were ready to kill him. They were furious. But Jesus says, hearkening back to the verse here, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. So you see what Jesus is saying here? Don't just believe what I say, believe what I do. Right? What I'm doing confirms what I'm saying, does it not? Of course, they just didn't like what he said, so they're ignoring what he was doing. So they weren't acknowledging it altogether. They were ready to kill Jesus no matter what. But Jesus was in the right. They were in the wrong. Lastly, the last purpose of miracles is to glorify God. The ultimate purpose of everything that exists here on earth, that happens here on earth, always should be pointed to God. In Matthew 9:8, it says, but when the multitudes saw, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And this was in reference to when Jesus healed a paralytic man. We want to isolate that verse where it says, glorified God. They saw that it wasn't just for self-glorification, Jesus deserved that self-glorification because he himself was God. They realized that the true power came from God. The hearts of men turned to God. That's what the purpose of that miracle was. But do you know why this is important to know? Because it will help you discern the difference between miracles for the wrong reasons. Because there are some examples where there is black magic. There are occurrences where there are some powers, the dark powers of this world work where we can't explain in natural causes. False miracle workers. And there's some things you can watch on YouTube and other things like that where people are doing some really scary things that all you can say, well, I don't know, that doesn't occur by a natural law. There is some of that going with a lot of Satan-empowered events like that. But it's important to know to differ between what is a God miracle and what is a dark magic or black magic. First of all, Jesus gives these warning signs in Matthew 7 where he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just because they say, Lord, Lord, and perform miracles doesn't make it so, doesn't make it authenticated by the Lord. But when you know it's of the Lord, is that the miracles are in line with the message. If a person does a miracle and the message does not line with God, then throw out the miracle worker and throw out the miracle. Forget it. It's not of God, it's of Satan. And secondly, a miracle is not necessarily from God just because it helps people. These people who cast out demons, people who claim to cast out demons and do works, just because they're doing quote-unquote good works, but if it contradicts God, his message, do not take stock in it. When you put it all together, you understand why, though miracles are still possible, and as you will see in a minute, I believe miracles still happen. They are rare. They are rare occurrences today. Why? Because we don't need it. We don't need miracles like it was in the Old Testament, or especially in the New Testament, first century. Because we don't need authentication. We don't need revelation because we have the Word of God. We have a Word of God to be able to tell us that God is true, God exists. We have a revelation today. We have God's Word. The third teaching of miracles that we should learn is that we should understand the process. The process. The most important miracle of Jesus was obviously physical miracles. We can always touch on this. We can talk about how popular these were. The miracles of healing, relieving human suffering, making the blind to see, the sick to get well, the lame to walk, all these physical miracles. In fact, we hearken on these miracles a lot, especially when we have prayer meetings. This is where we petition to God if somebody is ill, somebody's sick, somebody has something ailing them, we want God to heal them. We're expecting the God of miracles to come through, right? That's a physical miracle. There's also natural miracles. This is the most probably entertaining of them all that Jesus performed, that where people saw it and they wanted to see it again. The feeding of 5,000. Where God was making the storm to still. These natural occurrences were a wide scale miracles occurred where you just stand back in awe and say, this is a great God. Where God turned water into wine. These impossible tasks where God had done or made people want to see God do it again. And then finally, there was the supernatural miracles that Jesus had done, which was casting out of demons. But in every case, whether it was a supernatural, natural, or physical miracle, in every case, Jesus was proving his authority over natural law, physical law, supernatural, that he was the authority over all of it. He was confirming his authority over all. Well, does Jesus change when it comes to miracles? When we talk about our present day and age, when we look at miracles, does Jesus change? He's the same yesterday and today and forever, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if that's the case, then we should expect the same God to do the same type of miracles today, right? Not probable, possible. We shouldn't shortchange God, should we? That he could do that, right? That brings us to our final point, that we should appreciate the presence of miracles. Do you believe God can do miracles today? Yeah, you better, because he can. Not on our terms, on his terms. There's a true story that moved my heart that I want to share with you. There was a man in a church whose daughter was starting to have pain in her eye. And her dad took her to the finest doctors to figure out why she was having such pain in her eye. Realized that pain in her eye was caused by a large tumor behind her eye. And realized that they were going to have to have a really dangerous procedure to remove that tumor, possibly more than likely lose her eye because of it. So this man in the church was so burdened, so he presented and came before the pastor to see if the church can get together with the deacons and have his daughter come before the church and where they can all lay hands on her and pray for her. He didn't know what else to do, but just to give her to the Lord. And so the pastor thought it was a fantastic idea. And that Sunday, before a couple days on her procedure, she came before the church, deacons laid hands on her, and the church came forward and prayed for her. Well, as the day came where they were going to do the procedure, and before they were going to put her out for the surgery, something spoke to the father, where he felt compelled to ask the doctor. He said, can you run another CAT scan? He said, well, we're about to do the procedure. We already ran two CAT scans that confirmed that she has a tumor. And he did all he could to persuade him not to do another CAT scan. So it seemed kind of illogical. But he pleaded and said, just please, and the doctor asked him why. Why do you persist on this? I just believe we prayed that God can do a miracle, and we believe that, I just believe God can do a miracle here. So if you can please do this for me. And so I said, okay, that's fine. I'll do a CAT scan. So he did a CAT scan, and after the CAT scan, he came out and just shook his head in amazement. He lost a word, said, there's no tumor there. And I said, I can't explain it. Well, okay, I didn't come out here just to tell you that. I said, I want to run another CAT scan. Because it's unbelievable. So he ran another CAT scan. And at this point, he had asked the father to come in and to look at all the CAT scans. And he put up all the CAT scans there. He said, you see these two on the left? He said, these two on the left show tumors right there, very clearly behind her eye. You see those two CAT scans, the newest ones you've done recently? The tumor's completely gone. I said, this is just, I can't explain it. I've never seen this ever before. And he said, I don't know what you fed her. I don't know what you did to her, but she no longer has a tumor. So, and the dad persisted to say, well, it's not what I done, what you did, but it's what God did. That's a God of miracles. That's a God of miracles. God can still do miracles today. And those are wonderful stories to hear. You can read that and it can bring tears to your eyes. It can give you goosebumps. Well, it should. And I love to hear stories like that. But you know the greatest miracle of all that you can see today? Let me just suppose that we had a couple people here today that, see if you had a paralytic that was in our attendance today. And then somehow God demonstrated his power and glory by making that paralytic walk. How about, let's say if a person was blind, he made him see right before our very eyes. We can see that God made him see. We can see the lame walk. We can see all that. But you know, the greatest miracle of all is not a physical change that God can do, but a heart change. That's the greatest miracle that God still works today. And he uses us to make that change by spreading the word, sharing the gospel. You know, this is actually what Jesus was trying to preach to John. Remember when John the Baptist was having doubts about Jesus. If you are who you say you are, kind of thing. In Matthew, when it talks about in Matthew, Jesus answered John in his doubts and telling him, this is what you're to tell John, sitting in that jail cell. Jesus answered, said it to them, go and show John again those things which you do and hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. But listen, this last part is critical here. The poor have the gospel preached to them. So John, you've seen all these works that confirm I'm real, but also you've seen their lives change. See, if we don't believe in the God of miracles, then we can't believe the God of soul winning. That we can't believe a God who can save. We can't believe in a God who can change hearts and change hearts through the ministry of Northwest here where we can reach souls in our community. I tell you, you know, I hear about these wonderful stories from other churches and other ministries, and one key thing you take away from the people and why this occurs in their ministries is because the people believe in a great God that can do great and magnificent things. And I truly believe the miracle had occurred to this young lady with that tumor completely vanished because there was a people in that church and there was a father that truly believed that, take that CAT scan again. I believe God removed it. They had faith. Thy faith made thee whole, right? Well, I believe that for Northwest, don't you? Believing that God, yes, sometimes he shows his miraculous ways in physical ways, but if at the very least, believe in a God that can do wonderful things through their souls, through his word of truth. And take away these four valuable truths, that it is possible that God does miracles today. Without miracles, we wouldn't exist. The purpose always in miracles is always, always to point to God, not to us, not to man. And that there are supernatural, there's no limits to what kind of miracle God can do. Never put limits on that. There's always a process. And then lastly, of course, that the presence of miracles is still here. Believe it, because it's true, whether you choose to believe it or not. Brother Hudson.